Messiah, Son of God, King of all kings, please open our eyes so we can see you clearly. Fill us up with you. Fill us to the brim. Let us overflow with the presence of you, the true and living God. Lord, our souls need you. We long for you. We long for you, Jesus. Our days are empty without you. Everything else that we put in is counterfeit, God, compared to the presence and power and love of Jesus Christ. So fill us with that, Lord. Anyone listening, please fill them. Please show them the way is to worship you right now, is to seek you all day long. Convict whoever's listening of that. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump right in. This is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And we're going to jump right into the scriptures. John chapter 6, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now I'm going to continue, but I believe that this first part of what I'm reading here is talking about believing that Jesus Christ is the bread that came down from heaven. And that we've got to eat that bread, which is him. He says, this is the bread. And I just imagine him pointing to himself for all eyes to see. This, me, is the bread that comes out of heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. In order to be saved, you've got to eat the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. This is all expressions here. This is spiritual. This is not a literal sense. You'll see how people start taking it literally because their eyes are closed. But he even says, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. I believe that that is the passion of Jesus. That's the whole process of the torture, the scourging, the spitting, the beating, the mockings, the crown of thorns that they twist and just stick in his head and his skull. That's being nailed into the cross. That's him just howling out on the cross to God. That's him asking God to forgive all of us because we don't know what we're doing. That is the bread right there. That's what we need to partake. We need to receive that. The way we receive food, we need to let it just digest in us. We need to let it go deep down inside of us. We need to eat of that. And if you haven't eaten of that yet, I encourage you, please, be saved. Be reconciled to God. He's opened up his arms for friendship towards you. He's moved your big sin problem out the way right now. You don't want to deal with your sin when you die. You don't want to, because that's going to be a whole different game. That's going to be a game of judgment and condemnation because you decided to make your life work right now on your terms. You decided to live your life based on how you see it. Eat the food that you wanted to eat. But if you want to be saved, if you want to know that you're going to heaven, if you want eternal life, I encourage you, eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. And what is that? His crucifixion and his resurrection. His body was crushed for you. His body is the bread. It's all spiritual. I don't think this has anything to do with the Last Supper. People take it and they twist it. This is about Jesus Christ and you. It's always about Jesus Christ and you. Let's not take it and do something fancy with it. Let's just make it about you and the Savior. You need him. So verse 52, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, please listen closely to this. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Friends, I believe that this is talking about something different. As the first part I read to you was talking about salvation, I believe this is talking about continuation. You need to eat of Jesus Christ throughout the day. I believe that when he's talking about eating his flesh, it's a type of belief. It's a type of reliance upon him for your strength. The same way you rely upon strength from food, nutrition, from drinks, and so forth, he's saying, my flesh is the true food. My blood is the true drink. I really believe that he's talking about a continual consumption of Jesus Christ. He says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. And we know from John, the same gospel, if you go over to chapter 15, he says, abide in me. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's using the imagery of eating food, which is his flesh and his blood, which really is his crucifixion. He's saying, my gospel of my death and my resurrection, my living in you, I need you to eat that and drink that in all day long. He's saying that that is your true food. That's your true spiritual nutrition. We can get involved in so many Christian things, so many Bible things, but miss the true food. We miss the life. I can't get it across anymore that you need to have the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ in you during the day. Again, that's the imagery of his death and his resurrection. Meditating on him, fixing your eyes on the personhood of Jesus Christ, his deity, worshiping him, praising him, reading the scriptures and seeing him. He says, truly I say to you, unless you do this, you have no life in yourselves. A lot of believers who are walking around without any abundant life, it's almost like they're saved, but they're almost still dead to the things of God because they keep focusing on everything else except the life source, which is Jesus. I challenge you in love, please. Have you worshipped Jesus? Have you lifted him up today? Have you relied on him today? Have you ate of him today? Have you drank of him? Have you been just starving for him? Ask him, please, to fill you up with himself and to move you and motivate you to keep seeking and praising and worshiping him. Lift him up because that will be your life. This is real. I think Jesus was really being blunt and he was trying to put it in natural terms. People took it in a natural way and got grossed out by it. They got grossed out by it, but Jesus explains that's not what he's talking about. So look, says these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Again, they're thinking about it in the literal sense. They're getting grossed out thinking that Jesus is asking them to be a cannibal. I mean, remember, these are Jewish people who have strict dietary laws. First, the Jews in verse 52 started questioning this. And then his own disciples in verse 60 started questioning it. And he says right here, he says, look, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. He's saying, take what I'm saying in a spiritual sense, please. Take what I'm saying as something much deeper than just my flesh and just a foot. That doesn't profit anything. Eating someone's body doesn't do anything. But spiritually connecting to me as if it's food, spiritually connecting to me as if it's your drink, now that will profit you. And that's the same message to you, friends. Are you eating and drinking of Jesus all day? And now we can apply it to the Last Supper. When you eat, when you drink, let it remind you of the blood of the covenant. Let it remind you of Jesus and the blood of his covenant. That's what he says it is. Let it remind you of the new agreement, the new relationship, the new connection, the new system you have with God. That you have with God, that he purchased with you through his blood. Every time you eat, every time you drink, let it remind you that you need to be feeding on the Jesus who purchased you with his blood and brought you into a new relationship. He's adopted you. He's adopted you into his family, and you have all the access to blessings because of him. But you must feed on him. You must feed on him to experience the abundant life. First part is that you have to believe on him that he's the bread and eat that bread. And anyone who's trusted the gospel, anyone who's seen that they're a sinner and that they're going to hell, their sins are taking them straight to hell, and that they can't make right one day of sin, not let alone a whole lifetime, except by the blood of Jesus Christ, except by his death, his resurrection. If one day, once you believe that, okay, well then you've had the first meal, which will that's your salvation right there. But if you want to really have life in you, if you don't want to be a dead Christian, and yes, I mean that sounds kind of oxymoronic, but it's true. There's a lot of us who are dead. We treat the things of God as if on Sunday I'll go to church when I get a chance to. When I'm not busy, I'll read. And when I hear a good message, I get kind of reflective and meditate on it, and it's good, and I keep it moving. But that you don't eat that way. Do you eat once a week? Do you eat once a month? I mean, you couldn't survive that way. This is not me saying it. This is Jesus saying it. He says, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. And he's not talking about it in the flesh. He's saying spiritually. He's saying the same way you have physical food, it's just a type of spiritual food. The food that you eat during the day is just a type of what you need of God all day long. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the only reason why God made it so that we needed to eat food was just so we could be reminded that we need something spiritually all the time. You need something spiritual all the time. And that spiritual thing is Jesus Christ. His death, his resurrection for you. He's purchased something for you. You no longer have to worry about the enemy of death. You've overcome death. You've overcome death. And because of his spirit living in you and his presence filling you up by request, you overcome life. And now you have abundant life, but you can't enter into it. You won't be able to experience it. You won't be able to enjoy it if you're not treating it like it's true food. You have to abide in him. And he says, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats of me, he also will live because of me. Guess what? Jesus and the Father are one. If you're eating of Jesus, you will experience oneness in him. Right now. Today, all day, have your antennas tuned into the oneness of Jesus Christ. Don't we take our phones and we sync them to our computers so we can have all the information one, together, complete? I mean, I can't get the message any more clearer across to you. This needs to happen all day with the Lord spiritually. You must sync yourself to Jesus Christ today. Please. And it will bless you. And the more you do it, I think the more you're going to want to do it. And don't worry about whether you don't feel like it. Don't worry about whether you don't feel connected, whether you feel like you just sinned a whole bunch, whether you're unworthy. That's not an issue anymore. It's not an issue. You're helpless. The thing that helps you is the presence of Jesus Christ. Filling you up. Eat of that. Feed yourself. Feed yourself on the Lord. These are hard words for people who really don't know the love of Jesus Christ, I believe. I think the people who found this hard were people who really were having trouble seeing the goodness of God. But when you've seen the goodness of Jesus Christ, this kind of thing excites you. Because his disciples said, when he said to him, do you guys want to go away? Because some of his disciples started to walk away. But when he looked at the 12, he says, do you not also want to go away also, do you? In verse 67. And then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, when you have believed and come to know for yourself that Jesus is God and that he is good, then you're going to want to feed on him. You're going to realize that. And I'm praying that you do. I'm praying that you do. Because if you don't see Jesus Christ as good, as loving, as your shepherd, as your God, your personal Savior, eating and feeding of him, it just won't be, I think it's going to be missed. It's going to be missed. So I pray that you would, your eyes would be open, that Jesus would open your eyes and you would see that he is your Lord. He suffered for you. He said in verse 51 that the bread that he's given for you to eat is his sacrifice, his flesh. He gave that for you. He laid it down. They didn't catch Jesus and kill him. He wasn't running away, and they circled around him, tripped him up and caught him and dragged him away. And as he surrendered himself. You don't think he knew that Judas was kissing and betraying him? He allowed Judas to kiss him. He walked. He was led where he surrendered himself. He said to them, "Why do you guys come?" When they caught him in the garden, he said, "Why do you guys come with me like I'm some type of robber or villain?" They came with just a dispatch. And the dispatch was like about 100 or 200 soldiers. They came deep for Jesus Christ. I mean, and his mentality, like, look, I'm going to surrender myself to you. This is why I came. I came so that my flesh could be crushed and be the life source for the world, that'd be the nutrition for the world. And I'm telling you that if you believe that, you'll be saved. And if you eat of that all day long, you will be one with Christ. You will live in that oneness and that unity with God. And you will abide in him as he abides in the Father, and life will be in you. So it doesn't tire me to keep repeating it. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. I'm encouraging you, just make a habit of worshiping Jesus and fixing your eyes on Jesus and what he's done and what he's doing and what he will do. What he will do. Because he has the words of eternal life. You know, Peter, he spoke rightly. Where else are you going to go, honestly? Who else would die in your place? Who else would make you to overcome death? Who else perfects you, sanctifies you, makes you holy? Who else accepts you? Who else loves you unconditionally? Who else can give you fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, a sound mind? Who else can make you righteous? Who else can do that for you? Who else? This is good. He is good. Seek him. Please, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you to eat of Jesus Christ. You've got to eat. It sounds blunt. It sounds rugged, because that's what this walk is. It's narrow. It's rugged, feasting on Jesus Christ all day long. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that this message is quick into the heart of the listener, and that they would feed on you. Feed on your resurrection, your crucifixion, and your goodness, and the reality that you live in them, Lord Jesus. You live in the heart of anyone who's confessed you. And that's such a great, great meal for us to eat throughout the day. And I pray that you would open up the eyes of anyone listening, that they must eat of you, and not to guilt trip them, Lord. That's not what your desire is. You saved us. Our sins are forgiven. But because you desire to be one with them. And that comes from them daily. Daily making you their meal. So, Lord, I pray that they would see that. I pray that you would be speaking through me, that your spirit would be going out, that your presence would be filling people up, Lord. That the listener would know how much you love them, that you really desire something real with them, Lord. Lord, you're awesome. You're worthy. You sit on a throne. And I can't wait to see you face to face. Hallelujah. Can't wait to just be in your glory of your presence, finally in your holy hill and your holy temple, Lord, with your cape filling up the temple. Oh, what a sight to see, Jesus. I'm excited. Fill us up with that, Lord Jesus. In your name, we praise you. Amen.